Hello and welcome back to the Youth Trends podcast from Voxburna. This week's guest is the student room's ever talented and very impressive Hannah Morish. Hannah will be joining us at our Youth Marketing Strategy Festival, YMS, in London this April for a keynote entitled Influencers Killed the Role Model Star, Who Inspires Gen Z? Ahead of this, we invited her into Voxburna HQ to talk about her session, her thoughts on advertising, student marketing, and more. Hello, recording. So if you could start with telling us who you are, where you're from, and a bit of background about what you do.
My name's Hannah Morish. I'm from the student room, and I'm the student choice lead. So I support young people on our website every day to make informed decisions. And a lot of that might be around education or careers, but it also might be talking to them about topical things that are going on in the press and how they're relating to that. It might be about sex, mental health, and just being a credible source of information and just someone for them to kind of talk to bounce ideas off. And also sometimes to give them a bit of a handhold if they're going through a really tricky time, because we tend to forget actually how vulnerable some of our young people are and actually all the noise that's kind of in their world and all the decisions they have to make and all the pressures there are. But I also act as a bridge. So I work not only with young people, but also employers, brands, and also the government more and more to connect them with young people and to make sure that they are actually talking in a way that resonates and that language is understandable. You know, sometimes as adults in certain professions and sectors, we can talk in a particular way that might not actually connect with someone that's at school, college or university. And actually, it's not about dumbing anything down. It's just about making sure that it's resonating and people are hearing what you're trying to say.
Excellent. Thank you. And Hannah, before we delve into the meat, if you could kick off by telling us, what was the first app you interacted with this morning? On your phone?
Oh, definitely Instagram, 100%.
Okay, followed by?
Followed by my inbox, followed by, oh gosh, I'm embarrassed to say them, Facebook.
It's got to be said.
I'm doing all of them.
The top three.
Oh, I just feel okay. Like just such a...
Well, I can mirror that. and secondly, for our readers, I've known you for many years, working at Voxburna. If you could just hark back to your first encounter with Voxburna, can you remember what that looked like?
Yes, it was the YMS event, gosh, like 3 or 4 years ago. It was my first talk that I did. Mm-hmm. It was in the higher education stream and it was called From Baked Beans to Self-Actualization.
I remember it vividly,
yes. I do like an interesting kind of talk name. I think it grabs people's attention.
Sure. And on that note, fast forwarding, 4 years to YMS 19, I know you're giving a keynote in April. Mm-hmm. About who inspires young people today. What do you think the characteristics are of a modern day role model for young people?
Well, I think it's really individual, and there are certain behaviours and attitudes that are, I guess, model behaviours in themselves. So whether that's strength of character, whether it's a respectful attitude, that really strong work ethic, compassion, kindness, rising above challenges, having that personal story that people really resonate with. There's lots of lovely, fluffy, warm, gooey words that we can throw around for role models, but ultimately it's such an individual thing, and it really comes down to maybe your own story, and how what they've been through connects you with what you've been through. And I think what's really interesting is, because I think there's been a lot of discussion around, like, are there any role models out there for young people these days? Who is the role model? And you know, is there one role model, two role models? Like, who are they day in, day out? And now I think that actually young people are going to different people for different things, and there isn't one core identity of a role model.
And do you feel that the idea of a role model has changed over the past 4 or 5 years since you've been working in this space? Have you seen like a big shift in focus or any particular angle?
Well, from having spoken to young people on the student room about role models, what I actually found really interesting, and maybe we deep dive into this a bit more, is that actually lots of them are saying that they don't have a role model. And the big point that they were raising was that this was because they don't see anyone as being perfect and everyone has flaws. And if you're flawed, how can you be a role model? And I was like, but we're all flawed. But that doesn't mean that, you know, we're poor quality goods. Like, you know, we all have a story to tell in it. Isn't it about how we work through our flaws or our weaknesses to create strengths, that could be the thing that inspires someone the most, and that's what makes them a role model. So yeah, there really seems to me like, I think that's quite sad that, you know, that people don't see that as being something that a role model can still embody.
They don't have to be that 360 perfection.
No, they don't have to be this airbrushed perfect human that, you know, is just consistent.
Sure.
You know, there's no fun in just being consistent all the time. What stories would you tell?
And out of interest, who are your role models, yourself, maybe from when you were growing up to how they differ now?
Oh, gosh, I have so many role models. I'm reading Michelle Obama's autobiography at the moment, and there are just pictures in her autobiography that just evoke emotion in me immediately. Like, I just want to cry. She is just a beautiful human being, and I love her story and her honesty. I also really like Brené Brown, who has the top watched kind of TED talk out there on the power of vulnerability. She is a social researcher come kind of self-help guru that has just taken the world by storm. I think she's amazing. Mm-hmm. And also Elizabeth Gilbert, who wrote Eat, Pray, Love, which is a really popular film as well. Julia Roberts played her in the film. And I really feel that actually Elizabeth Gilbert's been kind of put on this planet to show people how to love and the different variations of who and how to love and how fluid that can be. So yeah, more and more, I think I actually connect with different types of role models where I am in my life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they don't necessarily have to be famous either. I mean, you know, there are plenty of people on Instagram that I completely adore and that I love reading their words. That helps me connect to my purpose and what I want to achieve in my life.
Sure. And on role model and maybe the future role model, sort of that moves us to influencers. Any influencers for you that stand out particularly as role models?
I really like Chessie King. I think she spoke at YMS last year.
Yeah.
She's great because I think she is clearly an influencer. And I actually think I'm really interested in the term influencer generally because I think as people that work in marketing, as someone that also works in marketing myself, I get the term influencer. But I'm not sure how much still young people get that term. They see them more as maybe Instagrammers or vloggers or YouTubers. That kind of description of influencer, I think, is still very much something that's here within the marketing industry.
Like an internal.
Yeah, it's like our own word that we put on people. But I think she's great because she's very honest. So she's there. She's got all her makeup on. She's wearing her clothes and she looks absolutely beautiful. And she always has a really personal message to share, but she's also really truthful and she has a lot of integrity in her authenticity. And I think that's a really big thing now because it's not enough now just to be authentic. Mm-hmm. You have to be truthful about your authenticity. Like, and I know that's like, what is that? But you know, authenticity actually sometimes with people that have a lot of power can be a really dangerous thing if it's not done in a healthy way for the right reasons. Whereas Chessie, you know, she'll be sharing her message, but she'll also say, you know, this is how my body looks and I'm not perfecting the perfect Instagram pose or I haven't got myself in the right angle. Mm-hmm. So she basically keeps it real. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's such an important message to share, especially around, you know, body positive.
Sure. So she's showing her flaws to make her seem that 360.
Yeah, so that whole flawed is the new flawless, which, you know, I talked about that a couple of years ago and I'm still really, really passionate about that. Yeah.
And what are your thoughts on young new users using social media and becoming more and more aware and skeptical of this, you know, influencer marketing strategy that's sort of ever present?
I think it's interesting having seen what happened after Love Island, where there was obviously a bit of a backlash when Danny was sharing a number of kind of stories about McDonald's because they had paid partnership for McDonald's. So they were there like having a Mackey's, talking about the drive-thru app, so they pre-order, crack on with their journey, get their burger, Instagram it, talk about it. And, you know, because they were there very much in the media, I think there was a bit of backlash around kind of the, I wouldn't say necessarily the quality of the paid partnership, but, you know, when healthy food and obesity and all of those things are just so being talked about all the time, you know, they are huge influencers. They're riding the wave of their popularity right now, and actually, is that a good decision to make? Is that the right partnership? And, you know, posting about eating McDonald's every day for the last week, is that what we want to be encouraging people to do?
Sure.
So, you know, there was a bit of a backlash, but people were really kind about it. You know, like, we love you guys, we're really happy for you, we're happy for your success, but come on now, stop posting about Mackey's. So I think there is more of an understanding of the kind of partnerships that are out there. And also, I notice it in my own feed when you see people that are super popular, you know, they've got a huge following, they share some great stuff. And then, but you can always tell when it has more of an angle. So, for example, if it is a paid partnership, you can tell. And I often see that likes are dropping off. And I think that's because people are getting wise to it. You know, if you just look at them posting about something that isn't about anything but them, thousands, and then they post up on something and it's, you know, it does drop off. But, you know, ultimately, those people I don't think will unfollow. It's, again, about the integrity and the honesty. And you have to wonder also if that product fully aligns with that influencer. So if you can just imagine that influencer using that product anyway, or whatever it is that they're talking about or endorsing, then yes, like, yeah, that's fine. I'm happy for you, actually. Mm-hmm. Good for you getting free stuff, because actually I'd quite like to be in that position because I really like that product too. But it's when it's completely out of somewhere else and it just thinks that doesn't fit with me, and I can't see how that fits with you, and you start to question the validity of it.
And I mean, you touched on it briefly just then, but what are your thoughts on the idea of influencers being aspirational? So, yeah. Like, you literally, you said the phrase, "Oh, I want free stuff. I'd like that." This aspiration that people now aspire to be an influencer, and that's kind of the gateway to success for them, mm-hmm. by getting free stuff from brands. Like, personally, I'd be, you know, interested to hear your take on that.
I don't know. I don't think that I do believe that, you know, everyone wants to be a YouTuber, everybody wants to be a vlogger or an Instagram, or everyone wants to win X Factor. Just, you know, day to day watching, you know, and engaging with young people that are talking day in, day out about every aspect of their lives on the Student Room. No, I don't see that. But I think sometimes it is naturally happening, but I think it's about what resonates with you. And if that person has a story to tell and it resonates and they are respected, then they naturally grow their following, don't they?
Yeah,
it is quite an organic thing. And I think that is, again, as people spend more and more time on social media, they're starting to get more of a sense of what feels good for them on their social media feed and what doesn't feel so good. And they're making maybe more informed decisions about who they choose to follow. Mm-hmm. Because the other thing around Green Eye Monsters, and I want to explore this more actually over the next couple of months before YMS, is, you know, do influencers make you feel good on the inside or just on the outside, depending on what they're sharing? Or is it a bit of a case of the Green Eye Monster? And actually, with an influencer, what are we inspiring? Is it copycat behaviour? Because again, when you talk about role models with young people, a lot of them are saying, I don't like any of them enough to actually try and be like them in a complete way. Like, I don't want to be that person. Like, I want to be my own person. So does that mean I can't have a role model? But it's like, well, with influencers, you know, influencers are putting on this show, this ambience of who they are in that moment with that product, whatever it is, in a way to encourage that person to buy that product, to be that product, to own it. So it's interesting, isn't it, that, you know, you don't necessarily want to be that role model if you have one, but you might want to be that influencer. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So yeah, it's interesting around that, not wanting to copycat, but in some ways wanting to copycat with the influencer.
Sure.
So yeah, more to explore before the big day in April.
and I guess finally on sort of influencer marketing, for you, do you see this only getting bigger and bigger, or are you beginning to see the cracks in this new tale, or TBC?
I think things will change naturally because people are now having to confirm, aren't they, on social, if you are in a paid partnership, it has to be made a lot more obvious these days. So I think that will continue to change as people want to understand a bit more about the accountability of what people are sharing on their social media feeds and how people are engaging with that information. I think we've always had influencers. We've always had product placement in films.
Sure.
And I think people understand, young people are wise to the fact that this is always going to be a thing. But I think more and more it's going to be really important that brands continue to connect with the right influencers who are sharing the right message and also want to be an influencer for the right reasons that are supporting and maybe empowering other people to, dare I say it, live their best life.
Hashtag. Yeah. Hannah, you've been working in the industry for a number of years, I know, YMS for four.
Mm-hmm.
So you've researched a lot in your time.
Yeah.
Is there anything that's been standout that you've come across, that you've researched, that's really sort of shook you? Or that's just been so interesting?
Yeah, well, actually, the first thing, I guess, more recently, it is the fact that 50% don't have a role model. So this was a survey of 1,000 students, 50% don't have a role model. Just under 25% said that their role model was someone that was actually someone that they personally knew. And just under 25%, it was those that actually did resonate with someone that was famous. So that for me is fascinating and it worries me, mainly because I think we have to ask ourselves, is this okay that they don't have a role model? And also look at culturally the UK, like why is it that they don't have a role model? Is it because we tear people down? Is it because, you know, you have someone, for example, like Lance Armstrong, who we all put in a pedestal and then we find out what had been going on, and it was, you know, they've grown up in this really bad news world, and this world that seems obsessed with finding people's flaws and then making them to be unworthy of our attention. And so now, is there just no faith in humans? So there's something around that. But also, on a completely different note, when we did a survey of 2,000 young people, we found out that 66% had unprotected sex. And that blows my mind.
That's really surprising.
And I know you have Love Honey coming to YMS, yeah. Which would be cool. But it is just that, like, when I was growing up, this makes me sound so old. I'm only 33, but the internet wasn't really a thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't.
Yeah,
like, I couldn't just, like, you know, Google everything. It was either what you had you had sex education at school, which, let's be honest, wasn't very good, and no, it's still not good. Mm-hmm. But you didn't have the likes of someone like Hannah Witten, who also, by the way, is an amazing influencer and obviously author and is brilliant at sharing her story. You just didn't have that. And, you know, you had to, you know, it wasn't like you could just pick up a chlamydia test, do the chlamydia test, and then pop it in the bag and then get text message telling you, you know, what the result was. That just wasn't possible. You had to physically get yourself down to a family planning clinic or go to the GP or wherever it was to get tested. So I just think, the amount of information now, there is so much of it, and there are so many different options on how to get tested, so much information about how to protect yourself. I find it really interesting that students are still making that choice, and that nearly 60% that had sex had also never had an STI test either.
Well, that is surprising.
Yeah.
Please.
So again, you know, in a world where, you know, we are bombarded by information, how do we get the right information through to young people to help them? They have so much information at their fingertips. This is the generation that has always been digitally engaged, you know? And I just think, wow, why aren't you protecting yourself? But again, you know, peer pressure still exists.
Mm-hmm.
Not having the confidence to have those kinds of conversations still exists. Like, we may have moved on digitally in the way that we share information, but, you know, teenagers and young people still have the same fears that we had when we were growing up. So I think we have to remember that as well. Yeah, technology-wise, they are way more advanced than, you know, my 16 to 18 to 21-year-old self. But, you know, they're still going through the same emotional issues and developments that we were.
Sure. And on that, looking at, I guess, those, you know, those fears, those issues that all young people have, if we're going to put students, for example, mm-hmm. which is, you know, discussed widely at YMS to our audience, what advice would you give our listeners who are marketeers that are looking to really understand the student market, mm-hmm. as opposed to young people in general, that wider 16 to 24-year bracket?
I think understand their journey, understand what their life is like every day. because I think that's the one issue, isn't there, with like Gen Z or millennials. It's also homogenized, and it's, you know, not everybody is going through the same issues at the same time or has the same experiences. Yes, ultimately you could argue that we all have the same choices, but we don't all have the same options based on, you know, our upbringing or our family income or, you know, just the communities that we've been brought up in. It's so different. And I think, again, different things speak to different people. So you have to get an understanding of who you're trying to speak to cut through the noise. And so a lot of that might be that actually you just need to do some actual kind of focus groups, trying to connect with those people, trying to connect with the audience. Don't assume that you know, because again, you know, based on what we just spoke about there around sex education, you can't assume that you know based on your own experience either.
Mm-hmm. And from the work that you've been doing, are there any sort of key standout points that you found that differ students to other 16, 24s, maybe those that don't go to university, those that don't go down that journey of maybe leaving home and getting into the student life?
I think, well, if they're not students and they're working, then again, that's different, isn't it? It's like, when are you sharing your messages? At what times are you sharing your messages? When are they going to engage with your content? Even though, again, you know, the workplace is so different now. I mean, when I first started work, no one had a mobile phone on their desk that they could just look at. But now, you know, in everyone's offices, there's probably someone having a sneaky scroll on Instagram.
Sneaky scroll.
Yeah. You know, having a sneaky scroll and they're like, oh gosh, I just need a break. I just need a breather. You know, it's like the new fag break, isn't it? So, yeah, I think it's about understanding their journey and also what they're going through. If you're going out into the world of work at 16, again, like you're working with people that are a lot older than you, and how are you then empowering them to kind of rise up and move?
Embrace.
Yeah, embrace, like transition from being at school or college and then coming into a professional environment.
Sure.
There's a lot of challenges there, but there's a lot of things that you can do to make yourself feel that you can own that space as a young person.
Sure. And YMS 18, I recall you did a great session called Stop Optimizing Shit Ideas. Correct?
That's the one. We like to grab people's attention.
So, you know, on those shit ideas, have there been any marketing campaigns that you've come across over the 5-6 months or so that have really made you cringe, that you've thought, stop, right, what are you doing? Come to YMS.
Yeah.
Side note.
Well, there is one that comes to mind, and it's quite a recent campaign, actually, and I'm just wondering about the success of it. It's not known yet how successful it will be, but it's actually the campaign around army recruitment. And I don't know if you've seen it, but it's all about, it's basically posters of army recruit, and it's based on the Lord Kitchener advert in World War One. But what they've done is they've created messages based on the perceived weaknesses of this generation. So they've got slogans like, hey, phone zombies, or snowflakes, or me, millennials, your army needs you. And I think it's quite divisive. And it's just saying that a whole generation is like this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, although they are trying to change that into a positive route, so for example, the selfie addicts that they mention in their poster, they have confidence, apparently. Although I'd argue that if you're taking selfies all the time and putting them on Instagram, then you're lacking confidence, and you know, because you're wanting that attention and that love and support, that validation, and for whatever reason. But yeah, so they're trying to make the perceived negative connotations with this generation, try and pull them in. But I don't know a young person that identifies with the word phone zombie or connects with a me millennial. Again, this is like real marketing speak that we use to try and get a grasp of our audiences and who we're trying to talk to, but I don't think that young person necessarily connects. And actually, you know, again, people probably up into the age of about 45, 50, even older now, all have their phones on their desks. And how many people do we see pushing prams or talking to their kids or looking at their phone at the same time? Like, it's not just a young person's issue, if that's even what it is.
Sure.
So I think, again, I wonder where and how that will work, and you know, how young people will connect with that, and whether that will inspire them to join the army. And also, because I think actually the messaging is, are you joining the front line? Is that what you want? Is that what they're asking you to do? We're not in like a big, we're not in World War One, we're not in World War Two, thank goodness, you know, we're not in that situation. So what are they recruiting for? It doesn't explain it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't kind of clarify that clearly at all. And I always remember when I used to go to the cinema when I was a teenager, and there'd be the Be the Best campaign, and it was really gritty, and it was like always on before the trailers, and they were like jumping up nets and rolling around in mud.
Yeah, I remember vividly.
And it was like the music was like really like bosh bosh bosh, like it was like
it
gave
hard.
You goosebumps. Yeah, and it was like, you know, really be the best that you can be, and these are all the different roles that you can do, whether you're a chef or a medic, or yeah, maybe whether you're on the front line or doing peacekeeping work. Like, I was like, yeah, this is great. So, you know, it's very different to that. And I wonder again what the thinking is, but time will tell, right?
Sure. Time's speeding on, so we'll go into our quick fire rapid round.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
Yeah.
What's been the best moment of your career so far?
When we challenged the media on their portrayal of the exam results that were coming out after the exam reform. There was loads of negative media about what had happened and about how young people would do in the week leading up to the results day, and I was having none of it. And me and my colleague basically pulled together this survey. We spoke to about 4,000 young people. We got the true story on how they were feeling, and on results day itself, it was in all the main news stories. So, you know, that was really important for us. It's the busiest week of the year, but it's kind of that when you're really doing something for a reason and for the greater good, and you're just like, I'm not going to let that stand. I'm going to rise up and we're going to educate people. So that was great.
Fantastic. Favourite app?
Oh, Instagram.
Why?
Oh, I think it's just an amazing place to build community. I have met so many lovely people from all over the world, and I've met friends that I know will be lifelong friends, gone on lots of Instagram dates, and yeah, started building community, and I just think it's amazing.
Nice. Something few people know about you?
That I am a therapist and a yoga teacher. One of the things I do is hypnotherapy to support people with the life changes they want to make. And I also I'm starting to do a lot more work now around end-of-life care to support people that are dying.
What are you most looking forward to at YMS London?
Oh, definitely the talks. Right, especially, I'm really looking forward to Elizabeth's Slay in Your Lane talk. I think it will be amazing. It's a book that is on my list. I think what she did was fantastic in terms of just, you know, having that experience of still not knowing how she was going to slay in her lane, but connecting with other women that inspired her. And getting their story, getting their juice, and then sharing that message with lots of young women and really empowering them and inspiring them and helping them to rise up, I just think is incredible. So, yes, I'm going to be anticipating that and really enjoying it.
Excellent. And your final thought for the day for our listeners?
I'm going to say, be kind. A lovely gentleman in prep today gave me a free coffee and banana because I was their Joyful Giving customer. So, yeah, and it was like divine timing. So if I had been in another part of the queue, I wouldn't have received that. So that was lovely. Yes. So I now want to give that back to somebody else today.
Be kind. Sounds good. Hannah, thank you so much for joining us. And we're looking forward to seeing you at YMS in April.
Thank you. Can't wait.
Thank you to Hannah for such a great and candid chat. If you'd like to hear more from Hannah and over 150 other youth marketing experts, join us at YMS in London this April. And don't forget, you can get 10% off your ticket by using the code PODCAST10 on checkout. See you back here next Monday for our next episode of Vox Burner's Youth Trends.